In his painted coffin, he's wrapped in yellow linen and embalmed with spices. Round his neck is a chain of pale green jade, and his hands are like withered leaves. "Swallow, swallow, little swallow," said the prince. "Will you not stay with me for one night and be my messenger? The boy is so thirsty, and the mother so sad."
"I don't think I like boys," answered the swallow. "Last summer, when I was staying on the river, there were two rude boys, the miller's sons, who were always throwing stones at me. They never hit me, of course. We swallows fly far too well for that, and besides, I come of a family famous for its agility. But still, it was a mark of disrespect." But the happy prince looked so sad that the little swallow was sorry.
"It is very cold here," he said, "but I will stay with you for one night and be your messenger."
"Thank you, little swallow," said the prince. So the swallow picked out the great ruby from the prince's sword and flew away with it in his beak over the roofs of the town. He passed by the cathedral tower, where the white marble angels were sculptured. He passed by the palace and heard the sound of dancing. A beautiful girl came out on the balcony with her lover. "How wonderful the stars are," he said to her, "and how wonderful is the power of love."
"I hope my dress will be ready in time for the state ball," she answered. "I've ordered passion flowers to be embroidered on it, but the seamstresses are so lazy."
He passed over the river and saw the lanterns hanging to the masts of the ships. At last he came to the poorhouse and looked in. The boy was tossing feverishly on his bed, and the mother had fallen asleep, she was so tired. In he hopped, and laid the great ruby on the table beside the woman's thimble. Then he flew gently round the bed, fanning the boy's forehead with his wings.
"How cool I feel," said the boy. "I must be getting better," and he sank into a delicious slumber.
Then the swallow flew back to the happy prince and told him what he had done.
"It is curious," he remarked, "but I feel quite warm now, although it is so cold."
"That is because you have done a good action," said the prince. And the little swallow began to think, and then he fell asleep. Thinking always made him sleepy. When day broke, he flew down to the river and had a bath.
"What a remarkable phenomenon,"
said the professor of ornithology as he was passing over the bridge.
"A swallow in winter!"
And he wrote a long letter about it to the local newspaper. Everyone quoted it. It was full of so many words that they could not understand.
"Tonight I go to Egypt," said the swallow, and he was in high spirits at the prospect.
He visited all the public monuments and sat a long time on top of the church steeple. Wherever he went, the sparrows chirruped and said to each other, "What a distinguished stranger!" So he enjoyed himself very much. When the moon rose, he flew back to the happy prince.
"Have you any commissions for Egypt?" he cried. "I'm just starting."
"Swallow, swallow, little swallow," said the prince, "will you not stay with me one night longer?"
"I am waited for in Egypt," answered the swallow. "Tomorrow my friends will fly up to the second cataract. The river horse couches there among the bulrushes, and on a great granite throne sits the god Memnon."
"Swallow, swallow, little swallow," said the prince.
"Far away across the city, I see a young man in a garret. He is leaning over a desk covered with papers, and in a tumbler by his side there is a bunch of withered violets. His hair is brown and crisp, and his lips are red as a pomegranate, and he has large and dreamy eyes. He is trying to finish a play for the director of the theatre, but he's too cold to write any more. There's no fire in the grate, and hunger has made him faint."
"I will wait with you one night longer," said the swallow, who really had a good heart. "Shall I take him another ruby?"
"Alas, I have no ruby now," said the prince. "My eyes are all that I have left. They are made of rare sapphires, which were brought out of India 1,000 years ago. Pluck out one of them and take it to him. He will sell it to the jeweller, and buy food and firewood, and finish his play."
"Dear prince," said the swallow, "I
cannot do that." And he began to weep.
"Swallow, swallow, little swallow," said the prince, "do as I command you."
So the swallow plucked out the prince's eye and flew away to the student's garret. It was easy enough to get in, as there was a hole in the roof. Through this he darted and came into the room. The young man had his head buried in his hands, so he did not hear the flutter of the bird's wings, and when he looked up, he found the beautiful sapphire lying on the withered violets.
"I am beginning to be appreciated," he cried. "This is from some great admirer. Now I can finish my play." And he looked quite happy.
The next day the swallow flew down to the harbour. He sat on the mast of a large vessel and watched the sailors hauling big chests out of the hold with ropes.
"Heave ahoy!"
they shouted as each chest came up.
"I am going to Egypt," cried the swallow,
but nobody minded. And when the moon rose, he flew back to the happy prince.
"I am come to bid you good-bye," he cried.
"Swallow, swallow, little swallow," said the prince, "will you not stay with me one night longer?"
"It is winter," answered the swallow, "and the chill snow will soon be here. In Egypt the sun is warm on the green palm trees, and the crocodiles lie in the mud and look lazily about them. Dear prince, I must leave you, but I will never forget you, and next spring I will bring you back two beautiful jewels in place of those you have given away. The ruby shall be redder than a red rose, and the sapphire shall be as blue as the great sea."
"In the square below," said the happy prince, "there stands a little match girl.